years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
It's live on a Sunday night. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and we have a lot to talk about tonight. Dr. Dave, weather.
There's only one place for Sterling every damn night. 1210 WPHT.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Migrant jewelry thief in big trouble. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, I'm sore, which could only mean one thing. I've just finished another home improvement project.
Only took you a week.
But the door looks great. Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Ka-ching! Falling in love with a stripper is expensive. Details later. Strippers on Loose, Sterling at Night.
Well, don't believe that old story. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain coming up later here on Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling, and this is a night where I know you have feelings that are strong and profound. There's no other live radio show on in America at this time. That's because of irresponsible broadcasters coast to coast, because they imagine they're going to save money by voice tracking and doing best ofs, but there's nothing less responsible than having a best of or pre-recorded show on American radio. The purpose of radio is to be live and to be part of our lives day to day, in the car, in the earphones, in the shower. That's what we're here for. We are here to be part of each other's life. And the only way I can do that is to be here. I've never put in a best of show. Don't even know how to do that. Pre-recording this show would be impossible. But I know you have feelings. My name's Walter Sterling. Hi. And my phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. The events yesterday with President Trump, nobody would think that was a good thing. Nobody would root for the shooter. Nobody would want that repeated. And that was the comfort I took after I saw the event, after I saw our president stand up and pump his fist and tell us to be brave. Imagine my disgust and shock at post after post, article after article of people saying, gee, it's tragic that they missed. I'm like, what? People posting that they felt that it was bad that they missed. I'm like, what? All of a sudden, worse than seeing that happen in America, worse than seeing that happen in America, worse than seeing that in front of an innocent, rooting crowd, were liberals having full-blown meltdown after shooter Mrs. Trump at the rally. We were a centimeter away, some of these jerks said. No, I'm not kidding. Celeste, who goes by the name of CELETT3 on TikTok, screamed about how upset she was that Trump hadn't been seriously injured. What? She wasn't upset that somebody tried to shoot another human being in public randomly, out of anger or God knows what. No, she was upset that Trump hadn't been seriously injured or killed in the attempted assassination yesterday. Now, blood is seen coming from Donald Trump's ear. We were a second away. We were a centimeter away from half of the problem being gone, and you missed, said this TikToker, Celeste. She was driving in a car because, you know, that's the safest way to drive in a car, is by recording a TikTok video. No, it gets worse. There was a congressional aide, a congressional aide named Marsaw, who's been fired from her position. She was made aware of a post made by a staff. The congressman was made aware of a post made by a staff member, and she is no longer employed. Thank God, Congressman Thompson. Thank God, Marsaw, who is also secretary, president, and vice president of a local NAACP, was previously venerated as a hometown hero on a TV station. Former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives Newt Gingrich was left appalled by Marsaw's posts. She should be fired today. Thompson introduced a resolution to cut off Secret Service protection for President Trump with staff like this. The poison is deep. You understand that this Congressman Thompson, for whom this Marsaw worked, this Congressman Thompson actually had introduced a resolution to cut off Secret Service protection for President Trump because he was a convicted felon. And a member of his staff said that the president, it's too bad that they missed. There's no room in America, all of a sudden, Thompson says, in American democracy for political violence. I am grateful for law enforcement, fast response in this incident. I'm glad the former president is safe, and my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone involved. Yeah, okay. He didn't want Secret Service for the president of the United States. He didn't want Secret Service protection. Like, this was a luxury option. Having Secret Service protection is a big pain in the butt, but obviously incredibly necessary. I can't get over that anybody would respond anywhere, public, privately, secretly, that it's too bad the shooter missed. I can't get past that. How could anybody? Let's frame this. There's a man who built a successful business, is adored by his children. His children are sober, clean, hardworking, respectful, well-dressed, stand-up straight men and women. And he has grandchildren. And his grandchildren adore him because he's funny and present. He's not a baby daddy. He's a real father. He's a real grandfather. And he was president of the United States. And you would take glee that he was shot. You would take pleasure that he was just a millimeter away from being killed. Who are you? Who are you? Thank God, Congressman Thompson, who wanted to remove Secret Service from Donald Trump. Thank God he fired that aide who worked for him and said something so horrendous. I want to know how you feel. My number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. My name is Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
You are a lush, I can tell by looking at you.
And what did the guys on the street in Philadelphia say about the horror show that took place yesterday in Pennsylvania? The bigger horror show is the response that I see on TikTok, on articles about the event, written about in big deal newspapers. Actual people saying it's too bad that he missed. How could you say that? Forget about ideology. Forget about the political side that you're on. This is a man who built a business, who has children who adore him. He is a real father. Donald Trump, real father. Those kids love him. I know those kids. Polite, respectful, stand up straight, well-dressed, work their butts off. No booze, no booze, no booze, no coke, no coke in the White House. None of the above. And he's a grandfather of beautiful children. How could you ever wish that somebody's father and grandfather, an employer, should die? How could you ever wish that? And what is it that you're afraid of that he's going to do? First of all, Hi, am I the only one who remembers that Donald Trump was the president of the United States? Did any of the things you're afraid of, democracy being taken away, did any of those things happen? No, here's what happened for me. I can't speak for you. Milk was $1.90 a gallon. Gas was $1.90 a gallon. Food was 25 to 35% cheaper than it is right now. Cars were 10% cheaper. Housing was 20 to 25% cheaper. Rent, 20 to 25% cheaper. Those are the horrible things that happened. What has never sunk in is that the people who hate Donald Trump, hate with this weird, bizarro world passion, their hatred does not match the level of emotional support that most Trump supporters have. Most Trump supporters are well aware of his liabilities, well aware of his idiosyncrasies, and don't agree with everything he says. They don't agree with everything he says. But they like cheap gas. They like cheap milk. They support Israel. They like the fact we had no wars while he was president. Nobody died in Afghanistan. None of this. And about, you know, ending democracy, he's going to be a dictator. When did he say that? He never said that. He's going to sign a few executive orders when he starts. Last time, he signed fewer executive orders, dictatorship things, than Biden has. Biden has signed many more executive orders. That's not a dictatorship? No, that's a privilege of the executive branch, and it's monitored and controlled. That's called our system of government. The reason that people are so blindly hateful of Donald Trump is their own guilt. Because you see, when he was elected president, all of those people assumed that Hillary Clinton was going to win. They assumed she was going to win. And what does that mean? They didn't vote. It was such a slam dunk in their minds, they just assumed that she was going to win. And then she didn't. And they were sitting there going, oh my gosh, I should have voted. Why didn't I vote? I should have voted. And it is their guilt that they didn't vote that has been converted into hatred for the person they didn't want to be elected, but they didn't do any work to get their candidate elected. And rather than saying, I screwed up, I should have voted for Hillary, it was my mistake, none of them admit that. You go up and ask anybody who's blindly hateful of Donald Trump, say, hey, you liked Hillary, right? Yes. Did you vote for her? You will be met with not only silence, but an icy glare. This is what the guys on the streets of Philly are saying.
What's up, America? This is Joe from Pepino with Archangel. Look, guys, we need to pray more now than ever. What just happened? The ex-president just got shot. The country, this is something that we the people, this republic, we have to come together. Pray. I pray for democracy. I pray for the republic not to be, I don't know what to say. This is not us. This is not what we stand for in America. I just pray for Trump and his family at this moment, his grandkids, all of them. God bless you guys, and God bless America.
Yeah.
888-688-WALT. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I'm live on a Sunday night talking to you about the horrendous, horrendous events that happened yesterday. But more horrendous is people who are actually saying, many people actually saying, I wish that the guy had better aim. I'm like, how can you even say that? Like, who are you? What kind of scum are you? Dan in Wisconsin, welcome to Sterling every damn night. Hello, Dan.
Good evening, Walter. You're welcome for my call.
Yes.
You know, it really can't be overstated, but up until he ran for office, Trump was celebrated as the benchmark for successful American, and everybody looked up to him. And the media have just lost their minds attacking him. And I really wanted to get your opinion on why that is. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. I have one theory, but
What's your theory?
I think it's just that he represents a straight, white, successful male. And I don't know. Evil doesn't like that, so they have to try to tear it down. But it is, it's just gone too far now.
It's gone too far when newspapers yesterday and today are saying things like, basically saying that they blame him for being shot. It is his
right.
rhetoric that is the reason that he got shot. I'm like, no, nobody says anything in the hopes they're going to get themselves shot. It's the sickest dynamic I have ever seen in the Staten Island Advance, in the New York Times. Newspapers across the country are taking the position that somehow or another he did this. He didn't do this. He didn't do this, Dan. Why? Why has this happened? Couple of reasons. Number one, he won't play the game. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't need their bribes. He doesn't need their favors. He was already incredibly successful. Please notice that most presidents go into office almost broke or mostly broke, and magically they come out of office with millions, and a few years later, tens of millions. He went in with tens of... You know, he didn't need any of their spiffs. He didn't need any of their stuff, Dan. Thank you for your call. Thank you very much. 888-688-WALT. He didn't need any of their favors. He jumped the line. What do you mean? How did he get to be president? He never held elected office. He never kowtowed to anybody in Washington. He never hung out with politicians. He didn't go out to Washington. He just won. When he won, it showed all the people who wanted to be president, congressmen, senators, that they were way off the mark. All the things he was promising were things that enough Americans wanted to get him to be president. It showed up that the platforms that other candidates were running on were of no interest to most of us. No interest. What do we want? We want to be in the club. We want to be recognized. We want to be heard. We want cheap milk, cheap gas. The only thing that disappointed me about the wacky debates was when they both concluded, they both gave their closing statements. Neither of them said one word that was of interest to me. I don't care about any of that stuff. They were all giving big philosophy and meta arguments. No. What do you and I want? We want cheaper food, cheaper milk, cheaper gas, cheaper cars. That's what we want. That's what we need. There are two groups of people in America today. This is how they decide their voting. This is how they think about the process. There are basically two groups. Those of us who have to shop supermarket to supermarket to supermarket in order to get the cheapest milk, and those who don't. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Carlin.
And the greatest arrogance of all, save the planet. What? Are these people kidding me? Save the planet? We don't know how to take care of ourselves yet. We haven't learned how to help one another. We're going to save the planet? I am getting tired of that. I'm tired of Earth Day. I'm tired of these self-righteous environmentalists. I'm tired of these white, liberal, bourgeois, liberal, white people who think the only thing wrong with this planet is there aren't enough bicycle paths.
All right, it's 10:34 on the East Coast with Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. Do I have a bed here? There should be a bed here. Let me just go out back. Weather, Dr. Dave.
There's only one place for Sterling at midnight, 1210 WPHT.
I'm in a terrible mood. And I'm in a terrible mood because of what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday was terrifying, that a candidate for the presidency was shot at, and that it was about 100 yards away on top of the roof of a building without any other buildings around it. The crowd and the president were in an open field, and next to the open field was a building that was about about three stories high, with a flat roof and a concrete block building. There were no distracting architectural features. And apparently, many people said, hey, there's a guy up there with a gun. Then you get into wacky jurisdictional issues. Apparently, for the first 100 yards from the president is under the control of the Secret Service. And then outside the 100 yards is under the control of the local police, the Butler, Pennsylvania police. Yes, all talk show hosts say how much they respect the police. I will say I respect the police, but not every police person is great, and not every police person does a great job. Just like not every talk show host does a great job. Every disc jockey doesn't do a great job. In every industry, every community, there are people who are fantastic at what they do, and there are fantastic police officers, and there are ones that maybe they were paying attention to Trump. Maybe they were looking at something else. But apparently, people said, hey, look up there. There's a man with a gun. And they didn't act on it. Or another report has that a police officer, in fact, confronted him. And when this crook guy pulled out a gun and the police officer saw that, the police officer moved away rather than taking him down. I wasn't there. You weren't there. That's not why I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood. Me, Walter Sterling, I'm in a bad mood. Because article after article, newspaper after newspaper, video after video, quotes people saying they wish the shooter hadn't missed. It's too bad they didn't take him down. Half our problem would have been solved if he was gone. There are actually people saying this on TikTok, the Chinese-owned video service. They're saying it in newspaper editorials. You go to the Daily Mail, my favorite publication, and in the comments section, you will see people saying this. How can you say this? I don't care who it is. If somebody is shot at, the response that's correct is not, I wish they had finished the job. Then, when it's the Republican nominee for president of the United States, you do not say, I wish they had finished the job. Who is this man? Donald Trump, the model of entrepreneurship and success in America for decades. Host of a hit TV show, for God's sakes. But more importantly, the father of successful children. His children are successful. Tiffany is a lawyer. They're all successful. That reflects on him. They're not drug addicts. They're not taking coke into the White House. They're hardworking, good kids. He did that. Yes, of course, is their mothers did it too. But he was half of that deal. They adore him. He has grandchildren. The grandchildren are beautifully dressed. They show up. Their parents are proud of them. And he's a great grandfather. You see videos of him with the kids. It's hysterical. He's charming. They love him. Our primary job, if I have a kid, my primary job is to ensure the safety, health, and happiness of that child. That's the primary job, isn't it? Well, he's doing that. I am so disgusted by the quotes and things I see from people saying that they wish the job had been finished off. How can you say that? Who are you? What kind of scum are you? What kind of scum are you? How do you feel? Here's my number. My number is 888-688-9258. I never thought I'd come on the radio and say, gee, it's terrible that somebody tried to assassinate the president of the United States. I never thought I would say that because that's obvious. Nobody wants that. Who would want that? And then I'm like, oh my gosh, there are people who wanted that. Who the hell could want that? In the eyes of the world, look at it at any level you want. How America looks in the world, how our democracy feels when a candidate could be taken out that way. How does our population feel? How do my kids feel when they can see that? That's half the reason I feel terrible, that there's a response other than this is terrible. That poor man, his poor kids, his poor grandchildren, other than that's the response. In case you're a little confused over there on the left, in case you're a little confused, the correct response is this was horrible for our country and for him and his family. Horrible. I can't wait till they drill down and find out what the hell happened with the Secret Service surveillance. I noticed when the Secret Service surrounded him, they're supposed to perform a human shield around him. They didn't. They circled him, and rather than throwing down the podium and getting it out of the way, they surrounded him, but they didn't hide his face, the target, in any way. We could see his face clearly. I believe there'll be a lot of questions. And we have yet to hear from the head of the Secret Service. We haven't heard from her. We haven't heard her say, this was unacceptable. I will investigate. I will explore. I will make sure we know what the hell happened. We haven't heard from her, the head of the Secret Service. Haven't heard from her. But I never thought I'd get on the radio and say, I can't believe that there are people saying that they thought this was a failure, that not killing him was a failure. I never thought that there would be people who would even think that. As a human being, the same people who think there should be a green planet and no carbon emissions, and that the planet is heating up and that NPR is a good idea. These people are the same people saying that they wish that he had died. How could you say that? How do you feel? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And I want to talk to you. I do this show to talk to you. That's why I do it, because we don't fit in. We are misfits. And this is the only place where I can be in touch with you and you can be in touch with me. And we finally belong to something. The Midnight Misfits. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Migrant jewelry thief in big, big trouble. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, I'm sore. Which could only mean one thing. I've just finished another home improvement project.
Only took you a week.
But the door looks great. Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Ka-ching! Falling in love with a stripper is expensive. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at Night.
Well, don't believe that old story. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain coming up later here on Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Alex Daddario.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You're looking at them right now.
Now I did, because you were talking about them.
It's 50 minutes past the hour. This is a live radio show. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I am disgusted and appalled at the reaction by too many. That means one. But it's thousands of people saying that they wished the shooter hadn't missed Donald Trump. I felt terrible when I saw the shooting. I feel much worse now that I realize there are thousands of people writing comments, blogs, TikToks, saying that they wish the shooter hadn't missed. How sick are you? How sick are you? Sue, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Sue at 855-839-1210. Hi, Sue.
Hi. So, yeah, you know, yesterday was totally surreal. The whole day. It's like one of those events when you remember where you were when it happened, kind of like the Kennedy thing or you know, 9/11. It was one of those things, you know, like how could you not, like, how could anybody think that it would be okay? Think where we'd be today if he had been killed. Just can you imagine what it would be like in the country right now? I can't imagine it. And it was horrifying. And the thing of it is, you know, the people that were there, they weren't running and screaming for their lives when they heard it was shots fired. They were all standing there worried about him. And, you know, when he raised his fist up, you heard how they cheered. You know, this guy's loved. And, you know, if they had succeeded, I can't imagine where our country would be right now.
Sue, I feel sick to my stomach. I haven't been in this bad a mood in a very long time. How do you feel, Sue?
I'm upset. I'm very upset. And the idea that anybody would, you know, like something like this happened before. We remember when Robert Kennedy was running. He was just about to be nominated or something. And he was killed. I felt at the time, and I was much, much younger, that somebody robbed us of the ability to vote for who was going to be our next president. If somebody had robbed us of that this time, I tell you what, we'd be in a civil war right now. I'm very upset, and I'm just amazed at the strength of this guy, that he would, you know, put his fist in the air and give his people, you know, that hope that he's still here, you know, that everybody's holding their breath, you know, and I tell you, all of yesterday was just totally surreal. I'm really upset. I have relatives, a brother who has Trump derangement syndrome, and the idea that anybody could wish that is just it. I'm appalled, like you are. I really am upset.
I love you, Sue. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. Marion in Philadelphia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Hi.
Hello, Walter. I just wanted to thank you for what you said about how the Secret Service surrounded him. I was screaming at my TV, put his head down. If that was a sharpshooter, he would have been dead. His brains would have been splattered all over. I don't understand what kind of security that was. And you're the only one who said that.
I don't understand how they didn't kick down the podium so that they had free access to him and then protected his face, because that's their primary job, is to form a human shield around the president, and they didn't do that. How could you and I have clearly seen his face? I'm like,
I don't know.
My gosh.
I'm yelling and screaming at that TV, like, push his head down. Why did they let him keep getting his head up?
Marian,
I didn't understand it at all.
I didn't understand it at all. But I'm grateful that you listened, and I'm grateful you called. Thank you very, very much. I feel a little better talking to you. Linda, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. You and I are talking about the whack jobs who think that it's tragic that the shooter didn't finish the job. Oh, my God. Linda, welcome.
Thank you, Walter. Yes, it's very discouraging in some ways, but these people who say such things to me, they're just purely jealous of what somebody else has achieved instead of working towards having better, wholesome lives themselves. But I believe that right and God will prevail, and that we will have our president come November that we want. Thank you, Walter, for taking my call.
Linda, I will always take your call, and thank you for calling 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, live on a Sunday night. I'm Walter M. Sterling. And you and I are talking about not the horror show that a potential president of the United States, a former president of the United States, was almost assassinated. Everybody understands that that's a horror. Everybody. Oh, what? What? And then it turns out there are people who actually are saying on TikTok, in newspaper comments, in comments on the Daily Mail, comments online, comments in Reddit, that it's too bad that he didn't finish the job. How can you say that? How can you even think that? Forget about your stupid ideology of Greenpeace and all that crap. Forget about that. This man is a father and a grandfather and a husband. He's a father of successful children. He's the father of beautiful grandchildren. How could you wish his death on him if you care about humanity, if you care about democracy? How could you say that? And there it is. I am shocked and disgusted. Thank God, Congressman Thompson, who was so stupid as to want to eliminate Secret Service service for President Trump after he became a felon, which, by the way, he's not yet. By the way, technically, he's not. But putting that aside, he wanted to eliminate the Secret Service from him. And geez, shockingly, a member of his staff yesterday said, too bad the guy didn't finish the job. Too bad the guy just didn't finish it. Thank you, Congressman Thompson, for having the good sense to fire that staffer. Now you need to resign. Now you need to get out of office. That you would hire scum like that. You would hire scum like that, and you would introduce legislation to eliminate Secret Service to a former president. You're still running Secret Service on Jimmy Carter and his kid to this day. And you would eliminate it to one of the most controversial figures in history and a recent former president. What? How not human are you, Congressman Thompson? I will work to make damn sure you don't get reelected. What a scum you are. What a coward you are. And then to have staff that would openly, willingly, quickly say, gee, I wish he had finished the job. What the hell? I'm Walter Sterling. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I am here Sunday nights from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, because no company, including Odyssey, will actually give me an email address. CBS wouldn't. Westwood One wouldn't. None of them would. They were afraid. They were afraid of the hacks that would be the result of you. They're afraid of you. waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. It's just, I can't believe anybody would say it's too bad they didn't finish the job. 888-688-9258.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a live radio show. Shockingly, there's not another live radio station on in America where you get a chance to express your feelings about yesterday. First, weather, Dr. Dave.
There's only one place for Sterling every damn night. 1210 WPHT.
Yes, Walter M. Sterling. I never thought that I'd do a show where I said, it's horrible what happened on Saturday. Somebody attempted to kill President Donald Trump. And I would have assumed after saying that, I could move on. But I can't, because that's not the story. The story is that there are thousands of people on TikTok and in comments and on the Daily Mail comments and on Reddit who are posting that they wish the shooter had finished the job, and that a member of the staff of Congressman Thompson actually said that and was immediately fired, thank God. But, gee, who is Congressman Thompson? Oh, yeah, yeah. He was the clown who put in a proposal to eliminate Donald Trump's Secret Service coverage after he was found to be a, quote, felon for mislabeling. Oh, my God. I never thought. Tom, listening on KMOX. Hello, Tom. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi. Before you put me in a box, I'm independent. I voted for Trump the first time, but he didn't keep any of the promises that I was passionate about. In fact, he kept none of his promises. And I just want to ask you, you think these people are scum. I do, too. What do you think of a person that thought it was funny when Paul Pelosi got hit with a hammer in the head? I would call that person scum, wouldn't you?
I would call that to be a scummy remark.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's a scummy remark. I see. Well, you should have seen the internet full of that, how many people wanted him dead. He wasn't even a politician. And he has grandkids, too, by the way.
I can't imagine the horror of opening your door and there's somebody who you vaguely know pulling out a hammer and attacking you. I agree with you. I can't imagine anything stupider or more pathetic or insensitive than saying, gee, I think it's great that a guy got hit in the head with a hammer and potentially brain damage for the rest of his life. But I also think it's tragic that he married her. Thank you for your call. Thanks very much for calling Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Mark in Pittsburgh on KDKA. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to comment a little bit. The phones were blowing up today because of what happened. And I tried to get on KDKA because they were making some comments that I just couldn't agree with. They were saying that Trump had no policies, but he's got project2025.org. You can go out there and see everything. It's kind of his contract between us and what he wants to do when he gets back in office. So to say there's no policies he's putting up. Now, on the other hand, I think about Joe Biden's policies. If you were going to ruin a country, I can't think of anything you would do different than what he's done. So there is a big contrast, and I'm not telling anybody who to vote for, but there is a big contrast out there. And my last comment is, we got to stop the lying. I sit here and I watch Newsmax a lot and some of the other stations, and I watch the whole interview. And Trump said this, I'm going to quote what he said. Imagine if I would lock her up. He said, nobody in America wants that. She's a former first lady. Nobody would want to see that happen. And later that same evening, I thought, let me go over to CNN and see what the, and I make this comment jokingly, see what the liars are saying. Wolf Blitzer said he cut the first part out and the other side. I would lock her up. And they ran with that. If you want to tamp down the rhetoric in this country, we got to stop lying to people.
Mark, this is nothing new. William Randolph Hearst used to personally review the stories on the front page of his newspapers and the editorials in his newspaper, the sacred William Randolph Hearst, and he would bully his columnist. He'd tell them to change things. He was manipulating the news all through his life. This is nothing new. It's nothing good. But how do you feel about the fact there are actually people who say they wish the shooter of Trump had finished the job?
Oh, it's deplorable. And I'm going to tell you why.
Yes.
They don't understand Donald Trump. Did you hear about his flat tire story down in Georgia?
No, tell me the story.
He was in the motorcade. He was down in Georgia. And they're going by, and he made the motorcade stop. There was a guy on the side of the road that had a flat tire. He said, see if you can assist him, help him out. So I guess they helped him change his tire. And Trump, you know, they got to keep him safe. But he wanted his name. So here's what happened. After they changed his tire and got him on his way and he got his name, when he went to make his mortgage payment, do you know that Donald Trump paid his mortgage off of his house? That guy was having a bad day, he said.
totally understand it. I believe it completely. That matches every story I've ever heard about Donald Trump as a guy. And I appreciate you listening to Sterling on KDKA, which only runs 2 freaking hours. Run the third hour on KDKA. What the hell is wrong with you? What are you putting on the air that's better? Nothing. It's 11:13 on the East Coast, 11:14 on the East Coast. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Migrant jewelry thief in big, big trouble. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, I'm sore, which could only mean one thing. I've just finished another home improvement project.
Only took you a week.
But the door looks great. Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Ka-ching! Falling in love with a stripper is expensive. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at Night.
Well, don't believe that old story. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain coming up later here on Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I am live. This is not a best of. I don't believe in best ofs. I think it is morally reprehensible that any station would play anything voice tracked or best of. Or how you got a radio station. It's supposed to be live. That is the key advantage over other media. The newspaper was created 48 hours ago. The television, who knows when they recorded those shows? Yeah, we're on a hiatus now. We only make 10 episodes a year. You make 10 episodes a year, you get an Emmy for that? I make 10 episodes every damn night. Walter M. Sterling. Sterling on Sunday, but I'm here every night in Philadelphia, as Tess in Philadelphia knows. You know I'm here every night, Tess.
Yeah, I'm listening to you every night.
God bless you, Tess.
Thank you.
God bless you, Tess.
I want to thank you. I bless you, too. I want to thank you for your voice of integrity against low life storms. I want to give you a quote. I identify the quote, the person from that quote at the end, but first I want to give you a quote that will make you understand and know what is going on in this country. And this is the quote, exact quote. I tell you how to bring this country down. Tell people one thing and do another. And that quote, that's the end of the quote, that quote was seen on tube this year, given by former President Obama. He was speaking to someone. The other person wasn't shown. He spoke very quietly, so nobody would hear him. But he was betrayed, evidently.
Do you think his listen? Do you think Obama's wife is actually a man? Do you think she's actually named Michael?
Yes.
I agree with you, Tess. Thank you very much for calling at 888-688-WALT. Joe in Philadelphia. Where in Philadelphia are you, Joe?
I live in East Germantown. I don't think you're going to be happy with my call, Walt, because I notice about you, you never acknowledge Palestinian people's humanity. You know, you talk about people shooting at the president. But I guess it's okay for Israel to drop bombs and kill innocent Palestinian women and children every day. It's okay for this country to for bigots to shoot up schools and kill innocent kids. And these hypocrite Republicans and Democrats, they're screaming now about Trump being shot at. They block any gun legislation that will keep guns out of the hands of racist and mentally disturbed people. So it's okay to do all that. But when a guy like Trump is shot at, it's so bad. There's no place in this country for this kind of stuff. But it's okay to kill innocent Palestinian women and children on land that Israel stole from the Palestinians. And it's okay, like I say, to shoot up kids in Sandy Hook and everything. It's okay for that. This country is so damn hypocritical, man. It's a joke. It's a complete joke.
Joe, did I let you say what you had to say?
Yes, you did. And I appreciate that, Walt.
Joe, then I have a question.
This country sucks. This country sucks, man.
Let me ask you an important question, Joe.
Yes.
Where do you get your pizza?
My what?
Pizza.
I get my pizza from a lot of places. Different pizzerias. I get it from Wawa sometimes. I get it from different places.
Not a Wawa. Well, that's terrible. What local place do you go?
Well, I go to, it's like a joke. Got Papa's Pizza up here in Germantown. I mean, you got it's a whole bunch of places. I mean, it's like it's so many. Well, I can't think of all those places. I go to them whenever I can when I get a taste for pizza.
Now, Joe, do you ever get pineapple on your pizza?
I have an occasion because I'm a Muslim. I don't eat pork. So I have got pineapple and stuff on my pizza at times. Yeah, I have.
All right. Listen, I'm going to protect your safety. I'm not going to tell anybody else in Philadelphia that you get pineapple on your pizza. I want to keep you safe, Joe. Thank you very much for your call. Thank you, Ace. Thanks very much for calling. Larry in Alaska, friend of Keith Fons, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, yes, sir. Now, I'm originally from the East Coast, just out 50 miles out of Philly, but I just wanted to put up a couple points real quick. You got to talk about the Secret Service, you know, how they ineffectively worked on and protected the president. You know, the fact that they took almost 3 seconds to cover him up, you know, a prime example of DEI covering, you know, and the atrocities of DEI again. You've got, you know, women that aren't even tall enough to protect him and cover him, and they're timid, and you can see in the pictures, timid. And the fact that they've got, you know, command center vans with drones, and yet it took so long to find this guy, and you got civilians standing there pointing out this guy, and nobody got on him before he fired off the shots. The second thing I'd like to bring up is the radical side of this, because everybody calls the, you know, the right radicals, but yet you see this as a prime example with all the comments online and the fact that the shooter, that this is all left radical stuff and proves that they're radical. And lastly, the biggest thing I want to bring up that nobody talks about is a cognitive dissonance of that this potentially could be a gun control topic again. And yet the left also wants to talk about abortion. And if you look at the statistics of the same time frame from like the 30s or 40s when they started tracking all this, that there's been 80 times more deaths from abortion than there has been from gun control. So it's not about protecting human beings and human life. It's more about control, and people need to wake up and really see that.
As a man, I have no opinion on abortion. I'm a man. I have no opinion on abortion. Now, Larry, did you notice the worst crime, the worst mistake the Secret Service made? Even I, as a layman who's never been a cop, and thank God have no relationship with the police. I love it when people say in the community, our relationship with the police. No, you're not supposed to have any relationship with the police. But what I couldn't get over is that they're supposed to form a human shield around him. And they should have done two things. Kick down the podium so they had room to work. But secondly, the minute he stood up, we could all see a clear picture of his face, which means any shooter would have a clear shot of his head. How could they not shield his face from the crowd? His face was looking at the crowd, and that was pretty much the only thing they didn't protect. Larry, I got to tell you, I think they did a lousy job, and I agree with you. What are these 5-foot-high women Secret Service people? That's terrifying to me. The whole thing was a major disappointment. Thanks for calling, Larry. Thanks for calling from Alaska at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Aaron, Louisiana, how hot is it, Aaron? Hi.
Hey, well, it's about, the heat index is about 106, but, yeah. You know, if you go by the regular temp, about 93. Hey, but I'm a first-time caller. I have two quick points, if I could, please. First one is this. I hope that the fake news media, CNN, MSNBC, they've been calling Donald Trump a Nazi. They've been calling him Hitler-like for all of these years. They've been saying he's a threat. We need to stop him. I hope they're finally happy now. I hope they finally got what they've been asking for, what they've been blowing this dog whistle for. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. You know, the parish, well, you know, here we have a parish instead of a
yes,
county, but
I'm Catholic.
Yeah, the
I know.
Parish, Okay, great. Well, you know, the parish that I live in is Jefferson, okay? And this is a red of red parishes, okay? And do you know not one of these yahoos in the local government said anything about these phony prosecutions of Donald Trump that's been going on all this time? They've never said anything about Donald Trump being almost assassinated. And these people keep running on his coattails here, but not one of them said anything about it. Do you know they have these Twitter handles and they have these Facebook pages, and not one of them has said anything about his near assassination? That just lets me know is that we have a lot of phony members of the GOP out there, and we need to start running some real people, some grassroots people who actually agree with the policies of Donald Trump, and not these, you know, status quo people, establishment, who just wants to run on his name recognition and his coattails.
Listen, what about your – I am so jealous of you because you have Senator John Kennedy. You have Senator Kennedy. How do you feel about him?
Well, good. You know, he was the treasurer here in the state for many, many years.
Right. And oddly, then he was like a moderate Democrat or something without the accent. The accent is new.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. Since he went to Washington, he kind of put on this whole he's taken on a different attitude. He's kind of put on a different face, and he's remade himself for D.C.
Yes.
And it includes all of these, you know, kind of stories that he tells and this aw shucks kind of thing going on. But he didn't have that here for a long time. I think that's all kind of a new, you know.
Yeah, now suddenly he's Senator Foghorn, and he's coming up with these wacky stories to prove his vague points. But it's very entertaining TV, and I wish I had a senator like that. I'm grateful that you listened to Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much for the call. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and coming up, I'm going to share with you my amazing history with Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Dr. Ruth Westheimer, who passed away this weekend. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's very exciting to be live on the radio. Live on the radio on Sunday night. Weather, meteorologist, Dr. Dave.
It's time for the Walter Sterling Show. It's on every damn night. You know, every damn night. Yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show. Every damn night. Every damn night. Yeah, that's right.
There's a great website about this show. It's called waltersterlingshow.com. You can get all the information about the show you ever imagined. But why do that? Just call me, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. It's astonishing how many people passed away this weekend. Famous people passed away this weekend. Let's start with
this one. You don't shy away from a topic that is difficult to talk about, because most people, when they talk about sex for the elderly, they think about their parents or grandparents, and that might not be conducive to a good discussion.
Yeah, that's a buzzkill. Dr. Ruth.
You don't shy away from a topic that is difficult to talk about, because most people, when they talk about sex for the elderly, they think about their parents or grandparents, and that might not be conducive to a good discussion.
She started her media career when she was 50 years old. She died at 96. A great lady, a great broadcaster, and a great psychologist of note. She was a professor at City College, has two PhDs, and I put her on the radio. I'm the one who gave her first job in media. I'm going to tell you exactly how this happened and what it was like to work with Dr. Ruth and what she did. Here you go. Dr. Ruth Westheimer started doing a radio show in New York City in about 1980. Very quickly, it was a very successful show. To this day, nobody has had a higher share of adults 18 to 34 years of age than Dr. Ruth. She achieved that in 1980. No one's come close. It's important to note that in 1980-81, FM radios had not proliferated to 100% of the households in America. It was about 60% of the households in New York City had an FM radio. Cars were still not automatically manufactured with an FM radio. You had to request it, and it wasn't even available on the cheaper cars. You could get it in a Cadillac, a Mercedes, a BMW, but not every car. It had not proliferated into every car. FM was still in its quote-unquote infancy, even though it had been around since 1948. It never became popularized until the late 60s when it was available, when they stopped doing AM-FM simulcasts. All right. There was a woman named Betty Elin. Betty Elin was the public affairs director at WYNY-FM in New York, which was owned by NBC. And I'm telling you this story with these names because they don't get enough credit. I'm going to make damn sure they get credit. And the weasel asses who try to get credit for Dr. Ruth, stop. This is the official accounting of how Dr. Ruth got on the radio. Ready? The rest of you can erase your names and hide under the table. Betty Elin found her at City College. There is a terrific broadcaster still on the air in New York named Mitch Lebby. Mitch Lebby started when he was two. And he had a public affairs show on WYNY-FM, and he had her on as a guest. She was a compelling, dramatic, oh my God, guest, a lovely woman. But she said things no one else said, and she had that voice. Don't forget that voice.
You don't shy away from a topic that is difficult to talk about, because most people, when they talk about sex for the elderly, they think about their parents or grandparents, and that might not be conducive to a good discussion.
A buzzkill. The general manager of WYNY was a man named Dan Griffin, and Dan Griffin was all business. He had been in the CIA. His jacket of his suit never came off. He was in charge of that radio station. He was profoundly respected and a great man, just a great human being. No nonsense. He was the general manager. Betty Elin was the public affairs director. Mitch Lebby was a talk show host and a news person. And together, they were very impressed by her. I was the executive vice president in charge of the NBC FM stations. I was, they say, run it up the flagpole. I was at the top of the flagpole. Dan Griffin came to me, general manager, sat down, looked at me and said, I want to hire Dr. Ruth. This is what she's going to do. I'll put her on Sunday nights for 15 minutes and we'll see how it goes. Because it was Dan Griffin who could handle anything. Remember, he had been in the CIA. He knew how to kill people with his thumb. He said, let's put her on and see what happens. I didn't even need to ask him, what are you going to do when advertisers complain, standards and practices complain? I didn't need to ask him any of that because it was Dan Griffin. It would all be handled. I didn't have to think twice about it. It would be handled. He put her on the air. She solicited letters. After the second or third week, she was getting 1,000 letters a week, 1,000 letters a week for a 15-minute show. She was answering the questions. She'd open the letters on the air. She'd answer the questions on the air. And she was captivating. All of New York City quickly knew about Dr. Ruth Westheimer because she was so good, unique, knowledgeable, and authentic. Well, how do you get to be authentic on the radio? You have no fear. You can't get a memo saying, be sure to be more authentic. Be authentic on the air. No, no, you can't be authentic on the air or in any situation unless you have no fear. And because Dr. Ruth knew her stuff, knew her skill, had been teaching it for probably 20 years at City College, was an expert, had two PhDs, she knew her stuff. She also knew she was funny, and she was able to take pretty much anything and make it funny. But then, that could have all been ruined by a weak, amateur, small penis manager. But the management of WYNY, they were the GOAT. Best program director in New York, best general manager in New York. They had it handled. Nothing was going to get to her. They would never do that asshole thing that some managers do of sitting down with the morning man or the host of the talk show and going over the complaints. If there were complaints about Dr. Ruth, and I promise you there were, Dr. Ruth never knew it. And that's how they kept her fearless, a combination of her expertise, her confidence, and they never brought fear to her door. You have to invite Dracula in, and they never let Dracula into Dr. Ruth's door. How she became Dr. Ruth is more of a story, and I'll share that with you in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Migrant jewelry thief in big, big trouble. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, I'm sore, which could only mean one thing. I've just finished another home improvement project.
Only took you a week.
But the door looks great. Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Ka-ching! Falling in love with a stripper is expensive. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Well, don't believe that old story. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain coming up later here on Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Zappa.
Are there any rock lyrics, Mr. Zappa, that you have heard in the past couple of years that you wouldn't want your children listening to?
We are the world.
All right, it's almost 11:50 on the East Coast. 50 minutes past the hour in the rest of the country. Welcome. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and you and I are talking about Dr. Ruth.
You don't shy away from a topic that is difficult to talk about. Because most people, when they talk about sex for the elderly, they think about their parents or grandparents. And that might not be conducive to a good discussion.
The first radio station she was on, which was her first media platform, not TV, not cable, not radio, FM radio, was WYNY-FM in New York City, owned by NBC. And the division, the NBC FM division, was run by me. I was the executive vice president. How that happened, who knows, don't care. I was the boss. And the management of WYNY came to me, sat down, and said, we want to hire this woman. And they said, we're going to put her on for 15 minutes on Sunday night. She'll get letters. I'm like, okay. And the reason I said okay without even thinking twice wasn't because I have a great ear. It was because the general manager of the station was Dan Griffin. And Dan Griffin had been in the CIA. And his jacket never came off. He had been a reconnaissance expert in Southeast Asia in the late 60s. There is nothing that was going to get by Dan. Nothing. Everything was handled. I knew him almost my entire career. He never raised his voice. He never did anything capriciously or emotionally. Everything was handled by Dan. I was grateful he came to our wedding. He was my friend my whole life, his whole life. Great man. Well, Dr. Ruth goes on the air. And in 2 or 3 weeks of asking for letters, she was getting 1,000 letters a week from a Sunday night show on an FM station in the early 80s. Well, FM hadn't even penetrated 100% of the cars at that point. It was still like 40 or 50% maybe. It was still a new medium. And she goes on the air, and we also had on a new format, a format that lived in my head. It didn't even have a name. It became known as Adult Contemporary, Personality Adult Contemporary. She was the propellant. She was the one who made that radio station come alive. It was kind of lying there. It was doing okay. It wasn't great. It was slow to ignite. We put her on and it explodes. And what lame program directors don't understand, what you put on Sunday night impacts what happens on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. It sets the tone for the station. because what you're listening to right now, Sterling on Sunday, you don't have to listen to. You don't need to know anything from the radio. You don't need to know the time, the weather, the traffic. No, it's Sunday night. It's 100% discretionary listening, Neil Paul. 100% discretionary. You could listen to 50 other stations, but you're choosing this. There's no utility attached to this. And as a result, if you put on something great on Sunday night, everybody who's listening to it really wants to listen to it. They don't have to. And then they're there on Monday morning. What I just said to you is the master class in radio programming that apparently most program directors didn't get. I'll tell you who got it as I die on the air. I'll tell you who got it. Steve Moore, Alan First, Bill White at KFBK. And I'll tell you who forgot about it. Like Bill Hess used to be a great program. He completely forgot about it. Ken Charles knows about it at the great WBZ. Anyway, we put her on Sunday night. Morning drive explodes. The station explodes. It gets huge. And it's because of her. Her 2 hour, her 15 minutes on Sunday night. After doing that about a year, Pete Salant, the program director, Al Brady Law, the new general manager, said, well, let's put her on for 2 hours every Sunday night. And they did. With live phone calls. Most Monday mornings, NBC Standards and Practices would show up in my office and want to go over the Dr. Ruth show about certain things that she said. And this was the real Standards and Practices Department. This was the original Standards and Practices Department created for radio in the 1930s. They knew every law, every rule. Tons of experience. They knew their stuff. They weren't some lame-ass corporate lawyer who vaguely knew broadcast law and whined a lot. And if salespeople ran to them, said, oh, I can't believe they said this. Whoa, they'd get all excited and worry about the FCC. Okay, that's amateur night. That's freaking amateur night. You got one corporate lawyer who everybody hates? Amateur night. I had to deal with the NBC Standards and Practices Department for Dr. Ruth. And they'd sit there and they'd go over things that she said, you know, BJ, vagina, things that she said. And I'd look at them and I'd say, Dr. Ruth has two PhDs. She's a Purple Heart from the Israeli Army. Do you want to tell her yourself? How do you want to communicate this? Oh, no. They wanted me to do it. I said, I'm not going to do it. Did she break the law? Well, no, but we're a little concerned about the standards. I said, I'm not. If you're not about to tell her, I'm not going to tell her. And we never told her. We kept her fearless. We never let her think there were any complaints, any problems, because we were managers. That's what you do with people who are creative. You protect them. You don't share your fears and your concerns with them. You protect them. You don't ever let them become fearful, because the minute a talent becomes fearful, they become useless. The only way for a talent to be authentic is for them to have no fear. And Dr. Ruth had no fear. We didn't let fear get to her door. And she was an expert. And therefore, she was confident in her expertise. She had no fear about the things that she said. And we gave her no fear and nothing to worry about, ever. That was our job. Lame-ass managers will bring every problem from advertisers and the community and Erin Andrews to the talent. Why would you do that? You just ruin everything. One of the great things for me about working with WPHT in Philadelphia, that's where my show is based out of, and David Yadgaroff and Greg Stockard, is they are great broadcasters. They run a happy shop. I have never worked with a better group of professionals than Frank Canal, Greg Stocker, and David Yadgaroff. Stuff's handled. Oh, and there's Dave Scalish, the smartest chief engineer I've ever known in my life. It's a remarkable crew, and I am blessed. It is a fearless radio station. Thank you, gentlemen. But that's how Dr. Ruth got to be successful. There was no fear. She had no fear. Management never delivered fear to her, and she got to thrive and become Dr. Ruth. That's how she became Dr. Ruth. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Rest in peace, Dr. Ruth. You were funnier than hell. Thank you so much for everything you did for me.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Doblin.
All right, it's 6 minutes past the hour. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. Look at that, a brand new Midnight Misfit. Charlene B. and Richie B. in Vegas. Welcome, 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 my Midnight Misfits. Now, weather, meteorologist, Dr. Dave.
Telling every night, lost in space. Mission Control, Dave Scott. Dave Scott.
The Canadian cold front, Dave Scott, is that Mrs. Scott? Hello, Dave.
Hi, Walt. How you doing?
Dave, a Canadian cold front. Yes. Is that Mrs. Scott?
No. A Canadian cold front would be a couple of moose bringing an ice caps to you in order to enjoy and take off the heat.
What are the feelings among Canadians about the horror show that happened yesterday with President Trump?
Well, a lot of Canadians are just rolling their eyes and trying to figure out what the hell is going on down there, Walt, you know, because, I mean, politics has been, even up here has become so divisive and everything. And, you know, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. People are glad that he's alive. They're feeling horrible for the people who were injured and passed away. But, you know, this doesn't have a place in politics, that's for sure.
What's shocking to me, Dave Scott, in Canada is, yes, everybody feels bad about that this happened. This is terrible that could happen. And that I thought would be the end of it, right? That I thought would be the end of the feelings. And then I'm reading TikToks. I'm looking at TikToks. I'm looking at comments, blogs, Reddit posts. People saying, gee, it's too bad he missed. How could you say that? Regardless of how you feel about the man's politics or point of view, how could you say that about another human being who is a father, a husband, a grandfather, a great builder, a great entrepreneur? How the hell could you say it's too bad they didn't finish it off? To me, that it made me sick. It still makes me sick.
Well, there is a University of British Columbia professor who actually posted that ugly, ugly statement on X. And now there's a bunch of people calling for her job, wondering if UBC, the university, the prestigious university just in the west side of Vancouver, is going to do something about whether or not she loses her job or not. And it's going to be interesting to see how many of these professionals, I mean, I agree with you, Walt. You don't have to like the guy. You don't have to like whoever, but you don't wish death on somebody ever. That's just not cool.
Especially a public violent death. It would have been so bad for our country. It would have been so bad for the world to see a world leader who, by the way, is highly respected in many places around the world, notably in Israel, where they think he's a hero. It would have been so horrible for the morale of the world. Dave Scott, who's an expert on all things extraterrestrial. Dave, welcome. Thanks for being on the show. Do you have a report for us?
Well, it's kind of a weird one that this ties in to what happened yesterday, Walt, and I'm sure this one's going to make you scratch your head. Ross Coulthart, who is an intrepid investigative journalist for News Nation regarding the UFO side, had this to say, and I hope you don't mind. I'm going to play this audio for you.
Oh, I love audio inserts. Thank you for being so prepared.
Hold on one second.
But I know, for example, Trump's been briefed. You know what's going on? He's scared. He's scared they're going to kill him if he reveals what he knows. That's what I've been told. You have a situation where you're potential president is terrified of speaking about the UAP issue because he's scared they're going to knock him.
That was stated at the Scientific Coalition of UAP Studies Conference on May 31st to June 2nd. And now that we see this happening, obviously, you know, I'm not saying yesterday had anything to do with UFOs. It was a wingnut who tried to do something horrific in American history. But I find it very interesting that this clip comes out about President Trump being scared to actually talk publicly about whether or not the U.S. has UFOs and you know, worrying about his own safety regarding it, Walt.
This has been a consistent theory and maybe myth about U.S. presidents, that they're told, okay, here are the state secrets. Here's the book of secrets. You reveal this and you'll be gone.
I agree with you. And I think there are a number of topics like that. Okay, I mean, there is the UFO side on whether or not we've had contact. Okay, that's a huge one for humanity. There's a huge one regarding other conspiracy theories, and I'll let people use their imaginations on those ones, Walt. But there are a number of conspiracy theories out there that are not allowed to be talked about, including, I mean, how much trouble did he get in when he said he was going to release what happened on the JFK files? And when they finally came out, or were about to come out, he granted a six-week reprieve for so-called security. And then 6 weeks later, when the papers came out, they were pretty much redacted of everything to the public. And the public wasn't going to get the answers. So I'm sure there are warnings that every president has to go through, including Trump.
I agree. Dave Scott, how do we get in touch with you?
SpacedOutRadio.com or on YouTube at Spaced Out Radio. Walt, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. The great Dave Scott, SpacedOutRadio.com. Love having Dave Scott on the radio show. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I are together because we are misfits. We don't fit in. I'll bet you at a pretty early moment in life, you thought, I'm not like these other kids. These other kids seem to all know each other. They all seem to have a rapport. They all seem to know the rules of the game. And I don't. I didn't get this memo. And there's nothing wrong with me. You know, my parents love me. I'm in a nice house. I'm healthy. But the other kids don't seem to like me. And I don't know how to communicate with them. And what's sad is that the reason for that is most of us are loners and introverts. And my friend, there's nothing wrong with being a loner or an introvert because we're the ones who come up with the ideas. Nikola Tesla was a loner and an introvert. He came up with all the ideas. All of the new stuff, the innovations in your company, your business, your world, in your family, it comes from you. The team players, they just take other people's ideas and go, rah, 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 isn't that great? Yay! And you and I cower every time we hear people cheer. You and I don't like to go to ball games because it's too loud and it's too random. And we hate it when somebody says, be a team player. Well, no, I'm here. I'm happy to help. I'm happy to create new ideas. I'm happy to think about the problems and help solve them. But I'm not going to sit around with all of you. I don't want any team building. Nothing more repulsive. This is no longer a big trend. But in the 90s, it was a big trend for corporations to go on field trips where everybody would have to run through the river or walk on coals. No, I'm not kidding. There was a time when one of the big team building things for corporations was to take everybody into the woods and lay out a fire of coals and then walk on the coals. And if you can walk on the coals, you can do anything. By the way, it was a trick because coals that are lit and then cooling off, but they're still glowing, they aren't actually that hot. No, really, they aren't actually that hot. Please don't try that on your own. It's 16 past the hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. coming up.
Migrant jewelry thief in big, big trouble. Details later. The people of Walmart, Sterling, at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, I'm sore, which could only mean one thing. I've just finished another home improvement project.
Only took you a week.
But the door looks great. Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Ka-ching! Falling in love with a stripper is expensive. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at Night.
Well, don't believe that old story. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain coming up later here on Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Judge Judy.
Don't play cutesy with me.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling tonight.
Whether you think this is a good idea or a bad idea, we have migrants from 180 different countries who have entered the old U.S. of A. in the last 3 years. And these were originally talked about, well, people from the, you know, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Well, that's turned into people from all over the world, including Armenians. The Armenians, they're an ethnic minority in Turkey. In fact, we have several famous Armenians, including Kim Kardashian and the whole Kardashian clan. Also, the lead singer of the group System of a Down, he's an Armenian. Lots of wonderful Armenians. Well, here's one that's not so wonderful. 21-year-old Larissa Vasilsima. She is facing theft charges, apparently part of a big migrant theft ring going from Walmart to Walmart, state to state. And she was going after the big money. She was robbing their jewelry section. When you go to Walmart, some of the nicest jewelry you can ever find is at that store. Walmart, the numero uno revenue-producing company in the entire world. Now, these people were doing it right. They were going from state to state and being charged. Well, it could be a federal crime. Club Fed ain't a bad place to go. By the way, this nice Armenian lady, no social security number, no address, no driver's license, no nothing. For the people of Walmart, this is Vilo Hul, Sterling at Night.
All right, there it is, Vilo Hul. Nobody else has this feature. It's incredible. I have an email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. This was sort of the weekend of people passing away.
When your machine is moving and grooving, you will definitely feel the results and benefits of exercise. You'll have more energy. The stress in your life will be reduced. You'll strengthen your heart and lungs. Your circulation will improve. You'll think sharper and you'll be happy.
How did he get to be Richard Simmons? It's important to understand how people get to be whoever it is they be. You're telling me there was no other gay guy who was an exercise freak? There was no one else who could show us how to lose 100 pounds? Of course there were. But you see, before he was Richard Simmons, he was the maitre d' at a fancy restaurant in Los Angeles, a celebrity producer, director restaurant where people used to fight to get seats, like at Michael's in New York. They would try to do whatever they could to get a seat at this particular restaurant in Los Angeles in the 70s. And the way they got those seats was they befriended the maitre d', and that was Richard Simmons. He was the maitre d' there for quite a while, and a character. And they'd give him $100 here, pet him on the head, tell him he was great, and he was able to then whisper to them, you know, I've come up with this method to lose a lot of weight. I could distribute this method. I could talk about this. I could talk about it on TV. And because he kept bothering them, and because they wanted a seat at this restaurant, Richard Simmons was able to get on TV in guest spots in Los Angeles. TV people, desperate for ideas, went, oh, well, let's put him on more and more guest spots. He became popular. He became known in Los Angeles. They put him on a local show, then they put him on a national syndicated show, and his Richard Simmons TV show was on for 4 years. If you host and produce a syndicated TV show, you will make a ton of money. You will just make a freaking fortune. And he did. And it enabled him to open gyms and start his, that card exchange deal that he had, where you ordered his diet plan. And the way it worked is on one side of the folder, it was a folder with cards. And on one side of the folder were all the things you could eat and in a given day. And then when you ate them, you took them to the other side and you put it on the other side of the folder. And then you're done for the day, he would say. And whenever I'd see that commercial, I'd think, what do you mean you're done for the day? Because if I had that system and I saw that all the cards were now on the other side, and it was 3 in the afternoon, I still would want to not be done for the day.
When your machine is moving and grooving, you will definitely feel the results and benefits of exercise. You'll have more energy. The stress in your life will be reduced. You'll strengthen your heart and lungs. Your circulation will improve. You'll think sharper and you'll be happy.
Shannon Dougherty also passed away. Robert Towne, Shelley Duvall. This was a sad weekend. A lot of people passed away. And Dr. Ruth, my dear Dr. Ruth. I owe a lot of my career to Dr. Ruth because I put her on WYNY-FM in New York. She was very successful, and I was able to ride the coattails of that success. It's fascinating to me how many losers try to claim credit for it, but I was there. I know how it happened. I know who did it. And anytime you want to review it with me, that'd be fine. I was on the nominating committee of the Radio Hall of Fame. I'm not bragging, it's just a fact. I was on the nominating committee of the Radio Hall of Fame. I am no longer. And when I nominated her, it was great because nobody objected. There was no complaint. And she was still alive and well, and she was able to realize that she won. She was able to get the award. She should have had me introduce her instead of some clerk from the finance department. What an embarrassment. That I'll never understand. But I have let that go. I have lit many candles to let that go. I just love Dr. Ruth, and she was funny as heaven. What a delightful person. What else did I want to tell you about? Oh, yeah, I have 3 daughters and a wife, and I have 2 female cats. But from the 3 daughters... and my wife, I learned something very important that I would like to pass along to any newlyweds, any men who just got married, anybody who just had a baby daughter. Congratulations on your magic. The magic that a baby daughter will bring into your life is far beyond anything you could imagine. But the most important thing I've learned about having 3 daughters, see if this matches your experience, gentlemen. Never do their laundry. Never do the women's clothing part of the laundry. Do not wash their bras. You will do it wrong. No matter what, you will do it wrong. You may think, oh, I washed it in cold water, I'm okay. And then you throw it in the dryer. And the minute you throw it in the dryer, you will catch holy hell for the next 7 or 8 weeks because you ruined their bra. Men are not allowed to near anywhere a woman's underwear, because we do it wrong. All good intentions. Oh, and when it comes to women's underwear, we don't get credit for good intentions. We get no credit for good intentions. It's always wrong. How did you do it? I told you not to do my underwear. You ruined it again. Don't do the laundry. But when they say don't do the laundry, they don't mean it. You can do the towels and your underwear, but for God's sakes, don't do their underwear. This is my tip for a happy marriage. Sterling.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
All right, it's 34 past the hour with Walter and Sterling. And Sterling on Sunday. Weather, meteorologist, Dr. Dave Oz. Weather.
It's time for the Walter Sterling Show. It's on every damn night, you know.
Every damn night. Yeah, that's right. Sterling Show every damn night. Every damn night. Yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show.
Past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. There's Kendall Aviva, Viva Vegas, Aviva Vegas. Welcome to the show. Where have you been?
Hey, Walt. How you doing? I've been running around doing summertime stuff.
In 106-degree weather, I don't believe you were running around. I'm sure you weren't running around. What do you have to report? What thoughts do you have? What are you going to share with us tonight?
Well, Walt, I wanted to talk to you tonight about Dr. Ruth, and I heard your segment earlier about her, and I've learned so much about Dr. Ruth from you and from joining your show, and I'm just so grateful to be here and to be able to honor her tonight.
I do believe in...
Are you playing it? What happened? Did she drop out?
Do in their bedroom.
I'm here.
Okay, we didn't hear any of that.
Oh, I just was saying that I'm just honored to be here and be a part of your show.
I heard that. But you started to play Dr. Ruth, and we didn't hear that. And why am I hearing myself on delay?
Oh. Did you hear
it? I do believe in let's make love instead of let's make war. There's nothing more interesting than sex. And there's nothing more interesting than what people do in their bedrooms.
That I heard. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, good.
But why am I hearing myself?
You should not be hearing yourself.
That's right. So what do you have to say about Dr. Ruth?
Well, Walter, I wanted to say about Dr. Ruth, like I mentioned earlier, I learned a lot about her from joining your show. I remember I was doing a segment about golden showers, and you brought her up. And when you started talking about her, I started thinking about her, and I learned more about her, actually researched her. And I really started looking up to her a lot more after learning about her from your show and from what I learned online, and that she's Jewish and that she was a sniper, and just learning about how she rose up in the 80s with her show, with her talk show. And she started taking calls from listeners about questions about sex and relationships. And I've just been really inspired lately by Dr. Ruth and by you, and by coming on your show, talking more about intimacy and about fetishes. And I feel grateful that to be a part of your show and to learn more about her. And she really inspired me.
Well, Kendall, we feel grateful to you because you spoke candidly about foot fetishes and other sexual activity that I never hear on the radio. I don't know why I never hear it on the radio. A foot fetish is doing something perfectly legal and fun. I never hear about that. You also brought up other subjects that other hosts are terrified of because all they seem to want to do is scream at the Democrats. I don't quite know when this became a source of entertainment, but I've never found it entertaining. And what I find it to be is, in fact, lazy. It's lazy radio to just scream at the Democrats. There was a great broadcaster who wrote the movie A Christmas Story and narrated it, and his name was Gene Shepherd. And Gene Shepherd, for an hour every night, and then we'll get back to Dr. Ruth, but I don't want to forget this. Gene Shepherd, for 1 hour every night on the number one radio station in North America, Kendall, the number one radio station in North America, for 1 hour every night would tell a story. No phone calls, no guests. He would just tell a story for 1 hour every night. But it was always about his childhood, being in the Army, conflicts with his friends, all that stuff. But he never talked about today's news. He never talked about the news of the day. Certainly he could have. And he was asked in an interview, Gene, why don't you ever talk about the news of the day? And he said, because that's too easy. And I'm like, you son of a gun. How dare you say that? But it's true. It's too easy to talk about the news of the day. You can just skip over and you can get fast little emotions, and it's lazy radio. And that's why we won't. That's why I far prefer the stories about foot fetishes from you.
Thanks, Walter. I do enjoy talking about different fetishes, especially the foot fetish and the vast array of many fetishes that we've gone over the last few months. We've explored quite a lot of different fetishes, and I am thankful that I can open up this sexual side and this fetish side of myself that I really have never been able to explore before. And thankful to you and Dr. Ruth for allowing me to share the side of myself with listeners, with our Midnight Misfits. And it's interesting, Walt, because in the last month or so, well, I think you brought up Dr. Ruth to me about a couple months ago. And as soon as you brought up Dr. Ruth to me, I started researching her more and learning more about her. And I thought it would be so fun for me on your show to take some calls from listeners about their relationships and their sex questions. And then she passes away. And I just felt like, Lord, maybe this is a sign that I should maybe do something similar to Dr. Ruth.
You're absolutely right. That is something you should do. We will talk about that and figure out how to do it really soon. There's another taboo subject that you discuss that is harder for you to discuss. Your impending wedding. Do we have any updates on that?
Well, we still have the plan of having 3 different ceremonies, which is a lot, and it's a lot of planning.
Yes. That's exhausting. But I think
it's exhausting just thinking about it. But I think, yes, Walter, the very first ceremony that we're going to have is the small intimate ceremony with an Elvis impersonator in Las Vegas. Just my fiance, future husband to be, just he and I and the Elvis impersonator. And then after we do that initial first wedding ceremony, then we're going to proceed with the ceremony on the beach in San Diego, and then with our ceremony in Sacramento with my fiance and all of his family.
Well, then you'll be really married. You'll like be really married if you do 3 ceremonies. Now, I'm going to give you a suggestion about the Elvis impersonator. Would you like that?
I would love it.
Ask to see his license, because this is an amazing thing. For years, the Elvis impersonators would be getting sued by the Elvis estate because they didn't have permission to do it. And one day, the head of the Elvis estate got smart and said, they're going to do it. They're going to do it anyway. Why don't we make them apply for a license to give them permission to do the Elvis impersonation, to impersonate Elvis? Why don't we make them apply for a license and charge them like $100, $200? And that's the deal with the Elvis impersonators. They have to get permission from the estate, which they will automatically get. They just need to show that courtesy, send the $100 or whatever, and they actually get an annual license to impersonate Elvis. Is that great? Is that like the best story? No.
I love that so much. I definitely will check their ID and say, hey, you better be a real impersonator.
Exactly. When they told me that, I said, how smart is that? Just how smart is that? They stopped being police people and started being collaborators. All right, Kendall, what else you got? What else you have?
Well, Walt, last time we talked, we did talk about Haley Welch, who is the Haktua girl. And so that was trending a lot when we last spoke.
Well,
and
I think you broke that story. Updates. Yeah, Kendall, I think you broke that story. So, yes, please, let's have the updates.
Well, there are some updates. She's been tracked down, and she made her own merch store. And I've got this here for you guys.
3 awesome things that have changed my life so far since all this has happened. 1, I got over my stage fright. I sang in front of 80,000 people with Zach Bryan the other night, and I cannot sing for But I did it anyway. Number two, I quit my job at the spring factory, and so I don't have to eat Taco Bell all the time, but I'm still going to do it anyways. Number three, I actually have to get ready more than one time out of the week now. I'm not allowed to look like Adam Sandler anymore.
So she also made her own merch store because a lot of people were impersonating her and making fake merchandise stores. So she's got her own official merch out. A lot of other people are saying that her 15 minutes of fame are up and she's not famous anymore to move along, and they don't think that she's got really anything to offer the world. But she is still riding strong on this hot tour, and she's done a couple podcasts since then. She's got her merchandise store officially launched, and she's also getting a movie contracts offered to her, reality shows, all kinds of stuff going on with Hailey Welch since the big hot tour moment that we broke on your show. Walter,
you did break it. I swear you broke it, and I'm grateful to you, Kendall. I look forward to talking to you again during the week, and I appreciate you being on Sterling every damn night. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. It's 47 past the hour. You're driving across Route 80 with me, and I am grateful to you. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, I'm sore, which could only mean one thing. I've just finished another home improvement project.
Only took you a week.
But the door looks great. Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Ka-ching! Falling in love with a stripper is expensive. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at Night.
Well, don't believe that old story. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain coming up later. Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by lesbians.
And how long have you been into women? I didn't say I was. You didn't have to.
Sterling every night. Study books. Lusty books, get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, the Prequels. The soles of her sneakers slapped against the worn brick path. A salty breeze ruffled her chin-length hair as she wound her way down the steep hill. At the bottom, she veered to the left and ran parallel to the sparkling sea. Tiny cottages flanked the crumbling road at irregular intervals. She concentrated on her destination at the end of the lane. A large tree drooped over the juncture of sand and stone, nearly shielding the last dilapidated bungalow from view. Ro ducked beneath the shade of its branches and stopped to catch her breath. Leaning against the trunk, she fanned her sweaty cheeks with her hands and waited. Moments later, a second pair of footsteps approached. A tall figure joined her in the shadows and captured her lips in a smoldering kiss before she could speak any words of greeting. Feeling of breathlessness returned as she returned the kiss with fervor. Her knees grew weak, and she had to pull away before the dizziness overtook her. "I was starting to think I wouldn't see you today," she said, panting. "I had a lot of work to do." Devin grinned. Your well-to-do friend bought another old vehicle he doesn't need. "It's a mess, but I think I can work my magic on it." Ro rolled her eyes. "I'll never understand you men and your cars, or any other shiny toys which cost a lot of money." "Hey, those toys are what sends the money flowing in my direction, remember?" He wagged his finger at her in a mocking gesture. "So, if I were you, I'd watch my mouth," he teased. She stepped closer to him and slid her arms around his neck. "And if I were you, I wouldn't be telling me what to do with my mouth. You never know. I could suddenly start feeling less generous with it." "Oh, really?" Devin moved in to kiss her again, and she turned her head to the side. His lips grazed her jawbone as he embraced her. "What were you planning on using it for?" Her muscles tensed, and she fought to ignore the heady rush sweeping over her when he licked and nipped a path along her neck. His fine blonde hair tickled her skin, and she breathed in its familiar scent. "I guess you'll never find out now." "Mm-hmm." His hands slipped inside her shirt, exploring her bare flesh. Rose squirmed beneath his roaming touch and held on to his broad shoulders for support. He reached behind her and fondled her curves, pulling her alongside his body. "What if I apologize profusely?" he murmured near her ear. "Will you forgive me?" She felt him pressing against her. "Maybe." He nudged her backwards, pinning her to the tree trunk. When he attempted another kiss, she didn't resist. As their tongues engaged in a playful battle, he skimmed one hand up her stomach to clip her chest. "How about now?" he said. Rose sighed, feigning melodrama. "Oh, fine. I suppose I can forgive this one transgression." She giggled, but her laughter was short-lived. "Besides, we don't have a lot of time. He's coming back from the city today." Devin removed his hand from the inside of her blouse. "I understand, even if it means you've been getting me all riled up for nothing." "I didn't say that." In an instant, she whirled around and reversed their positions, shoving him against the tree. "You did come all the way out here, after all. If I don't make it worth your while, you may not return. You know nothing could keep me away from you." He toyed with the ends of her hair as she covered his neck with kisses. "A little longer and we'll be together all the time." It was a promise she'd heard many times before. Her hands snuck beneath them and tugged at the waistband of his pants. A soft groan rumbled in his chest. Ro teased him further, walking her fingers along the length of his zipper. "Tell me more," she said. He inhaled sharply as she popped open the button. "I love you. I'm tired of sneaking around to see you, but I want to fix that. What else do you need to know?" "Good enough." She finished unfastening the closures and sank to her knees, encircling her fingers around him as she lowered herself down. "I think it would be a good idea if I stopped there for tonight, but you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels, which is available at Amazon.